Shalom aleichem, everyone. Welcome as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Noach. I'd like to share with you a thought or two relating to the end of the parasha, much is said about the marble itself. Let's start with Esther Shishi, where we find that Noach leaves the Teva, and there's a glorious new beginning to the world. Vayachel Noach Yisho Adolah V'yitakor. We know the unfortunate circumstances where Noach, upon leaving the Teva, set out to plant the vineyard, and the vineyard grew miraculously. From that, he drank wine, became drunk, and an unfortunate incident followed. The question really is, what was so terrible about his behavior? What was so terrible about going out and planting? I would think that would be the job of man. Man sets out to settle the world after a marble. Perhaps it's not the best thing, but what was so terrible with the action he did, and what exactly do we learn from this? To explain this, I'd like to share with you a thought that was related in 1999, this time of the year, right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There was a gathering in Yerushalayim to be Masavek, the group of Jews known as the Perushim. The Perushim were the original Talmidim of the Gra, who settled Yerushalayim, which was Ashkenazim, originally returned to Yerushalayim. And the Adasa Perushim, the group of the Perushim over the years, had become mixed with many other Yerushalmi Jews. And there was a gathering of the descendants of the original Perushim. They started the Perushim Yeshiva again. And someone spoke there. And I remember reading the following thought that he shared. We say to see him, Anu Mashkimim Behem Mashkimim, Anu Amelim Behem Amelim, Anu Ratzim Behem Ratzim. We compare the efforts of Lovdei Torah with those who are not. And then we say, Anu Ratzim L'chayi Olam Haba. We run to the study of Torah, are running to Olam Haba, Behem Ratzim L'Be'er Shachas. And the others are running to destruction. The question he asked is that it's not so. There are those who are running to Torah. And there are those who are running to take care of Parnassa. Why is taking care of Parnassa the Er Shachat? It's true. If you compare those who are running to Torah to those who are running to do Averis, we would say, Anu Ratzim L'chayel Haba, Behim Ratzim with the Er Shachat. However, when you compare it to the ordinary people of the world, most are running to take care of their Parnassa. What's so terrible about that? Why should that be called the Er Shachat? And he answered an explanation, which is really a side of that tequila, with the following answer. He said it's true that it's a gzeira min hashamayim that human beings have an oil parnasa, have the responsibility to go out and earn a livelihood. However, there's no reason that a person should be rutzen, that a person should run towards something which is a gzeira, which is not the way it should be. The midah of rushing or hurrying is near to follow Da'asas Hashem, is a hanhaga, a behavior which should be for knowing God. Shulchan Aruch brings a minhag that when one comes to shul, one comes to the courtyard of a shul, one runs. That's the way it should be. People saunter into shul, especially those who are late. Makes no sense. Why are they walking so casually into shul? If the minhag is brought to run into shul, even on Shabbos, we are not supposed to run. One is permitted to do that, to run, to enter shul. The midah of onurats and vehemrats, and the midah of ruts, of running, of rushing to something, that's a midah that has to be used properly. And therefore, onurats and vehemrats, the tanya is, why are they running to it? That's be'er shachas. When one deals with parnassah, something that's necessary to be able to raise the Yiddish shul, the Jewish home, to have time to learn, to have time to daven, to be able to give tzedakah, that's the way it should be. But the rutzen, the running towards physical needs, that's a problem. Imagine, you have a sports fan, it's postseason. He's going to a ball game. He's a fool. He doesn't belong in a ball game. But he's running to a ball game anyway. He runs. He's there early. It's exciting to him. Okay, maybe on his darga, there's nothing wrong with it. But when he runs to daven, is he running? Could it be that when he comes to a ball game, he's early, and when he runs to davening, he's late? That is a kitchuk on the person. So too, your shachas if it's used improperly. Let's move on to the part of the parsha to which people pay very scant attention. And that is Perek Yud, the ending of the parsha. Vayehu tel b'shmenei Nayach, a listing of the descendants of Nayach, Yefes, Gaimer, Malgai, Mada, Yavan, Tuval, Meshach, Siras, Ashkenaz, Rifa, Segarma, and so on and forth. This list is a list of 70 names. And it's known that there are Shittim Umais, Jews say there are 70 nations. Are there really 70 nations? The United Nations has, I believe, over 190 nations. Now, of the 190, there may be 100 which deserve no mention as nations. But certainly, there are more than 70 that do. What is our concept of 70 nations? Where it's really something that fluctuates. There's some nations that existed generations ago and no longer exist. There are other nations that have come into being. So what is the concept of Shivan, or my 70 nations, Shivan Parei HaKag, the Kabbalists brought on Sukkot, are meant to correspond to the Shivim Umais, or Shivim Lashon. We say there are 70 languages, Aliyot Tov Yosef, 70 languages. What 70 languages? There are more than 70 languages today. So what is this idea that there are 70? The answer is that the 70 are the 70 nations, the descendants of Nayach mentioned here. But that itself needs an explanation. There are places like the Sarshish, the Donim, Kikin, that don't exist anymore. So what is going on with these 70 nations being eternal nations? Is that the idea? The Ramban in Parshas Bahalaisha, Perikid Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, explains. The idea of the 70 nations are 70 Sarim Umas Ha'ilam. This is a theme mentioned often in the Rabban and Chumash, that every nation has its malach, its agent in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 70 nations, and the concept of 70 malach and 70 kaychais. The nature of each nation is different. And so there are 70 kaychais in the world, 70 non-Jewish attributes, which are attributes of the other 70 nations. And connected these 70 nations in Shemayim, says the Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had 70 Yardei Mitzrayim, 70 Jews that came down to Egypt, and were the roots, the beginning of the Jewish people. Neged these 70 kaychais, these 70 powers of the nation, a Sanhedrin has 70 members. 70 members who work and strive in Kedusha to counteract the power of these 70 nations. The Ramban, in numerous places, explains concepts, ideas, which are best understood when one understands this idea of 70 nations. And today, I'd like to share with you four ideas that are well understood based on this. The first is in the Ramban and Ashkenaz, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chafei. The Ramban says that when we talk about the kaychais, the power of the Avodah Zarah of the nations, it's a real power, it's a real kayach. And it says in the Pasuk, Vizana Acharei Elahei Nechar Ha'aretz, is a danger that a Jew will stray into the God of the foreign nations. Which means to say that there really is a power, an idea. Greek philosophy really is a power. The American feeling, the American nature of pursuing enjoyment all the time, recreation all the time, it really is a power that attracts a person. And these 70 crises are really crises of the world. And this is understood again with this aside, that the idea of 70 umais is 70 nations. The second idea, which is well understood, based on this idea, and again from the Ramban and Achrimais, the idea of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, outside of the land of Israel, is not our place. It's not so just because every nation has its country, has its place. It's more than that. It's that the Sar Ha'umais, the power of every nation, is in that nation, is in that country. America has an idea and atmosphere which attracts certain non-Jewish ideas, which attracts Jews, now, unfortunately, either to outright assimilation, or even to something that's not assimilation, that from Jews get involved in, where from Jew doesn't belong. David HaMelech said, Geresh Tani Hayayim Mehistapeh B'Nachlas Hashem Leimar Lecha Voida Lihim Achirim. When Shaul caused them to leave Eretz Yisrael, He said, I'm being chased to go serve foreign gods. David HaMelech, if Golis is going to serve foreign gods? But no. A person is influenced by the teva, the name of these nations. There's a third idea, which is well understood based on this. And this comes from the Nitziv in Parshas Devarim. We find in the beginning of Devarim, Hayom Meishah Be'eretz HaTorah Hazayis, that Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah before his death, and Rashi says, he explained it in 70 languages. This is very difficult to understand. Why explain the Torah in 70 languages to people who only know one language? Jews who grew up in the Midbar know only Lashon Kodesh. Isn't it ridiculous to sit there and explain the Torah in Chinese, in French, in other languages? This is in the Tziv, in the Sefer HaKsavah, Kabbalah as well. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Hebrew, but he explained the Torah as it would apply to Jews in any of the 70 nations, in any place where a Jew would be taken to Golos. We'd be influenced by the Shiva Umais, by the Shiva Lashainais. That there too is a place for a Jew, there's a place for Torah. It's best to be in Eretz Yisrael. But wherever a Jew is, he should be able to learn Torah there too. And that was the Hayom Meishah Be'eretz HaTorah Hazayis. So I've explained three concepts. The concept of the Kleches of Avodah Zarah, the concept of the power of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, and the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu explaining in 70 languages the Torah. The fourth and final idea is something I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro on Shiva Osar B'Tamuz in Eretz Yisrael. We know that when Jews are in Golos, our job is to gather, so to speak, 70 Nitzaitis Kedusha. In every nation, we gather the Nitzaitis of Kedusha that exists in that nation. From where did these Nitzaitis Kedusha come? And had the Klal Yisrael not fallen in the Midbar, how would we have gathered these Nitzaitis Kedusha? So Rav Moshe Shapiro explained. A Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, we mourn the breaking of the Luchas. What's so terrible about the breaking of the Luchas? It's sad. The Luchas were broken, new Luchas were made, and they were given to Klal Yisrael. What is it that's unique about the breaking of the Luchas? Explained. The Luchas contained Kedusha HaTorah. When they broke, what became scattered was the Torah message, the idea of Torah. The message of Torah, the idea that there are different sparks of Kedusha, which were scattered now among the nations of the world. In the nature of each of the nations, there is good just as there is bad. And in that good, there is a spark of Torah. So that we who are here in America, and are very much influenced by the American value system, we have to look to take what's good from the value system in America. What's good from the idea in America of a nation that really has in highly unusual acceptance of people different, people who are different than them. That idea is something that shouldn't be lost on Yidden. We too have to take that value and feel an achdus in our own family in Klal Yisrael. Wherever we go, we have to take sparks of Kedusha. And this is this idea. And so the Shimon Umais, at the end of the sixth parasha, more than 70 nations, they're the personality of 70 nations. The Sara Uma, which is the personality of each and every one of these nations. Come to an end, I would like to end with a question, as I like to do at least on weeks, but I have a question. Rashi says that Mikol Mahima Tahira Shiva Shiva, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Nayach that kosher animals would enter the Teva seven in groups of seven, whereas non-kosher in groups of two, we know from here that Nayach learned Torah. I don't understand. Rashi later, in Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes, says that Nayach didn't bring these animals into the Teva. He didn't go out and collect them. Well, may Alayim, they came on their own, which is really a Gemara. It's an Hedrin Kuf Ches. If so, they came on their own. What's the raya that Nayach learned Torah? It's no raya at all. It becomes even more confusing because Rashi in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf, where it talks about the Eif Liminei, the birds. So Rashi says that the birds came, those that were faithful to their min. They Aleim Bo, they came on their own. Why does Rashi say the birds came on their own, which is a Medrash? But the Gemara really says it about everything, about all the animals, that they all came on their differently than the way they're spelled in the Torah, the way they're pronounced in the Torah. And this is Parsha. We have, for the first time, a woman named Men Lamed Chof Hey. And Hey Malki or Malka is a common name. Yet, when we look at the Parsha, we find that the name is Milka, the way it's spelled here in the Torah. Okay, perhaps Malka and Milka are two different people. We find the name Batya, which is a common woman's name. Of course, Batya Bastara. But it's not Batya. If you look at the Vei Yamim, it's a chirik under the nose. It's Bitya. We have a common name, Nahum. If you look in Shrei Asar, there's a Navi. His name is Nahum, with a patach under the nun. Why do we call it Nahum? This is one place where the Israeli pronunciation trumps ours. Also, the name Daniel is pronounced by people as if there's a tzere under the aleph. Daniel, Israel, Ishmael. It's not so. Look at Navi. While the other names I mentioned have a tzere under the aleph, Raphael, Michael,